This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Enterprise BizBytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury, and I'm joined here in the studio by my colleague,
Christine Wong.
We're going to be with you for around about an hour. We are talking today about venture capital's role in sustainable investment. Now, sustainable investing is now the new criteria investors think about before investing. Why does it matter? How does it impact investors and businesses in the long run? We'll be speaking with Rachel Lau. Rachel is the managing partner for RHL, to understand how investors consider ESG before funding businesses and startups with venture capital. Now, first, for those who don't know already or didn't know already, what exactly is sustainable investing? So, Tom Stobieski of Harvard Business School defines sustainable investing as socially responsible investing, or ESG investing, in which an investor strongly considers environmental, social, and corporate governance, ESG, factors before contributing money and resources to a particular company or venture. The goal is to use investment dollars to promote positive societal impact, corporate responsibility, and long-term financial gains. While sustainable investing will affect investments in many ways, we'll focus specifically on the role it plays on venture capital. As we all know, VCs are usually provided at early and seed round funding. Investors look for high growth and potentially risky opportunities, which can result in above average returns.
Mm-hmm. Over the past few years, ESG investing has grown as investors have recognized that some of the ESG factors are also economic factors in the long run. This increase has gathered more momentum following the COVID-19 pandemic, with greater investments in information technology and, in particular, cybersecurity, digital healthcare, and solutions associated with corporate remote working. The private sector is now paramount in working towards a sustainable future. The Business and Sustainable Development Commission has estimated there will be $12 trillion of market opportunities involved to achieve the United States Sustainable Development Goals in such areas as food and agriculture, cities, energy and materials, and health and well-being.
This means that more opportunities are opened for venture capitalists to invest in companies tackling climate change through clean and innovative technologies aimed at meeting the SDGs. By investing in alignment with the SDGs, venture capitalists have the ability not only to increase profitability, but also to contribute to the planet's sustainability, helping to end poverty, protect our planet, and generally improve lives.
Mm-hmm. Venture capital in sustainable investing has already started to grow tremendously. During the first half of 2021, Crunchbase reported that global venture funding increased 61% against its previous high in the last 6 months of 2020. The trend will continue to flourish. And examples of sustainable investing bringing financial returns could be seen in the UK. In the UK, there are nearly 900 impact startups with a combined worth of £50 billion tackling climate change and employing over 35,000 people, such as Onto, providing an all-inclusive electric car subscription service, and another startup, Plastic Energy, which recycles end-of-life plastic waste.
Mm-hmm. Now, back home, InvestKale has secured 2.46 billion ringgit investments through 13 global services hubs and created 2,281 regional executive jobs in 2021, making it the best performing year for the last decade. According to Invest CEO Mohammed Azmi Zulkifli, Malaysia was able to attract this notable investment growth because foreign investors are investing in new technologies that will help them to grow responsibly. Now, for us to get more of an understanding of these new developments and what investors are thinking before pumping capital and resources, we'll be hearing from Rachel Lau, managing partner at early stage venture capital firm RHL, in just a few moments after the break. And if you have anything you'd like to discuss with us regarding this, get us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also get us on Twitter, which is, of course, at BFM Radio. Me and Chris are going to take a short break with some music from Morrissey with First of the Gang to Die here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Stay tuned to Enterprise BizBytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Building future Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Enterprise BizBytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio by
Christine Wong.
What are we talking about today, Chris?
We are talking about venture capital's role in sustainable investment today.
And so we do have somebody on the phone line with us. It is Rachel Lau. She's a managing partner at early stage venture capital firm, RHL. So, Rachel, can you help us out a little bit here? And what exactly are VCs looking for when they are choosing to invest?
RHL is very similar to most VCs. You know, we're looking at startups which have, you know, proven business models that can be sustainable, repeatable, and potentially profitable, right, in the future. We look at founders that have a good track record, you know, either from education or what they've done or have the drive. It is a people's business. So we do emphasize a lot on the founders. But essentially, you know, we also look at product market fit, you know, how big the market is, the addressable market, what the margins are, how sustainable it is, how big or small the growth is in the sector, whether there's a need for it. I think the best companies to be investing in is obviously to solve a problem that is already existing in the markets. You know, we're in Malaysia right now. And so, you know, essentially we're looking for companies that can solve businesses here and in Southeast Asia. I think the things of going to the moon, we're not as ambitious. I think let's just solve the problems existingly in the society. And I think that would be happy if we can do that. And of course, you know, if it can contribute to society, you know, from an altruistic standpoint and give back to society, I think that would be the best.
And what kind of funding figures are we looking at?
RHL's Hibiscus Fund is a 300 million ringgit fund. We're aiming for 25 to 30 startups, in which we're averaging about a 10 million ringgit check size each time. We're looking at a Series A and B company. And so obviously, you know, this falls within the range.
Rachel, do the people, you know, behind it matter? And if so, how so?
For us, I think all businesses are people first. Customers are also people first, right? So we emphasize a lot on, you know, how the founder comes across, whether they've got integrity, what's their attitude, what's their drive, what's the company's ambition, what does it take for someone to succeed? But of course, you know, succeed with good intentions, right? Or in a manner that you can give back to society. I think we focus a lot on people who care about other people. You know, I think if you're just purely looking at, you know, bottom line and only profits, I think it's going to be very difficult because, you know, in today's day and age, you have to be a holistic or good human being. And if you do good, you will do well. So we also look at proper internal governance of a company. And obviously, you know, the knowledge, skill set, and how equipped the founder is in terms of building a business.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of talk right now about issues like greenwashing of token diversity, stuff like that, you know, where, you know, people talk a big game about sustainability. So, I mean, but like they don't necessarily deliver. Is this just a phase, do you think? I mean, why is sustainable investing only picking up steam now?
To be fair, sustainable investing or ESG has been a focus in the last 10 years or so. As people become more educated, people care a little bit more about the environment, where they live, what they eat, you know, who's polluting the environment, because we've seen, you know, bad behaviors, and that's caused a lot of ripple effects to society. I don't think this is a new topic. I think people are a little bit more equipped with investing in sustainable efforts right now. We're a bit smarter in terms of being able to quantify the results or the impact that a sustainable fund or a sustainable business looks at. I say, you know, the pandemic has shifted that wave. Investors are also willing to look not just at the bottom line, but also a holistic standpoint. I remember a conversation I had with one investor, you know, 2 years ago, and he said, what are you looking for ESG and sustainability? I said, you know, are you willing to take a lower investment returns if I invest in sustainable investments? He said no. So I thought it was a bit hypocritical for him to ask such a question. But essentially, I think right now people care a little bit more and they realize that it's not the be-all and all in terms of bottom line.
Stay on the phone with us, Rachel. We're going to take another break in just a moment. Folks, if you're only just tuning in, sustainable investing is now the new criteria investors think about before investing. Why does it matter? How does it impact investors and businesses in the long run? We are speaking with Rachel Lau. She's a managing partner from RHL to help us understand how investors consider ESG before funding businesses and startups with venture capital. If you want to get in touch with the show, get us via WhatsApp. That is 018-789-8899. Get us on Twitter if you'd like to as well. That is at BFM Radio. Myself and Chris are going to take another short break. We've got some music coming up from Smash Mouth here on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Bring forth Moolah, BFM 89.9.
Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong.
Today we are discussing a little bit about sustainable investment and venture capital's role in sustainable investment. How is the new criteria investors think about before they do invest? Why does it matter? How does it impact investors and businesses in the long run? We've been speaking with Rachel Lau. She is the managing partner from RHL to help us understand how investors consider ESG before funding businesses and startups with venture capital. She's been hanging on the line for us for a while. Rachel, just to continue this conversation and before we wrap up, we've got a few more questions for you, of course, but do you think sustainable investment is actually going to have an effect, or is all of this, you know, just talk?
I don't think sustainable investments is going to die off anytime soon. The pandemic has changed the way we live life, and this is the new normal, right? You know, to be a responsible human being, we should take an RT-TK test before, you know, we go for a big gathering. If we're sick, we should stay home. We should wash our hands. We should maintain clean hygiene. I find it extremely upsetting when people don't adhere to the new social norms, because I think it's our responsibilities as human beings to take care of other people and the people around us. So back to the topic of whether this is a topical topic or, you know, something that is here to stay. I think sustainable investments are here to stay. So for example, you know, how clean you have in terms of your restaurants and food prep, for example, and what is the impact to the environment from your business? How do you do good for other people? I think the pandemic, you know, ironically has heightened our senses in terms of what we care about, and hopefully, you know, what we care about, what we eat, what we do is a reflection of better behaviors and better values. And I think therefore, sustainable investments will be a reflection of what we care for, and hopefully we care about the environment and Earth a little bit more.
So how do you measure the effectiveness of investments?
We look at investments in multiple ways. Obviously, the first thing that we look at is profit margins, and it'd be hard to lie about that. How sustainable the margins are, what's the growth prospects of a company. But I think, you know, given, again, the highlight on sustainability, I think to do good means you will do well. And for us, we also measure the external effects of a company to its society, in a sense that, you know, we look at, you know, how they treat their employees, you know, their stakeholder management, how they are in terms of their feedback in society, what, you know, they can do better, you know, how they can improve the lives of other people and customers. I think for us, you know, we're cognizant that we want to be the best, or we want the companies to be the best, but to be the best, you need to do well as well, right? So for us, you know, it's a long set of criteria that we look at for investments. But essentially, like I said, you know, we're looking at, you know, the main few factors is how do you do good, how do you do well, and then, you know, it kind of translates to the bottom line, hopefully.
And do you think you can give us some examples of sustainable investments?
We have invested in FeeFiFo, which is an agriculture tech company that provides co-farming solutions to plant without hefty investments of time and capex. You know, this FeeFiFo, for example, works with young agropreneurs that we take out of UPM, for example. We're also working with Felder in terms of, you know, getting some of their farmers and elevating these farmers out of poverty, essentially. The way we look at it is, you know, if we can give back to some of these farmers in terms of better techniques, better control of the environment, in terms of them farming in, you know, they're able to translate that into, you know, higher wages, higher income for their businesses. And again, then, you know, essentially, you know, for us, food security is a really big thing. We're looking at it not just from a day-to-day Malaysian rice bowl perspective, right? We're also making sure that the, you know, given that the break of supply chain globally, we're able to contribute, you know, even if a little bit to society from that standpoint, and making sure that food is prepared in the safest and cheapest manner.
And I think final question for you, Rachel. Does sustainable investing lead to higher returns?
Can't say for certain it does or it doesn't, because I think the literature is still pretty new and inconclusive at this point. But essentially, I think it also depends on how we value the returns, right? You know, is it pure profits or is it, you know, a societal impact as a whole? I think we need to quantify everything and not just look at money as the bottom line. Mm-hmm. And maybe it is a double or triple bottom line that, you know, we look at going forward. I don't have a good answer for this, but I do think that if you do good, you would do well.
Really interesting stuff. Thank you so much, Rachel. That was Rachel Lau, the managing partner from RHL, helping us understand how investors consider ESG before funding businesses and startups with venture capital, because, of course, it is now the new criteria investors are thinking about before they do invest, and it obviously does matter. Now, ladies and gents, it's pretty much time for us to wrap up for today. But if you did miss any part of the show, don't forget you can download it wherever you normally download it from. Chris, where do you recommend they download it from?
So you can find today's show on our app, which is on the Apple App Store or Google Play, or going to our wonderful website, bfm.my.
And of course, we will be back same time, same place next week for a whole new week of Enterprise Biz Bytes here. From the Enterprise team. My name is Rich Bradbury, on behalf of my colleague Christine Wong, this has been Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9. But don't forget, coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is the Breakfast Grill replay. The tabling of an anti-hopping law during the first session of Parliament in 2022 was one of the key conditions of the MOU between the federal government and Pakatan Harapan. Now that the tabling of the bill has been postponed, how does this affect the historic but uneasy truce between the two sides of the political divide? The Breakfast Grill discuss what's holding up progress on the anti-hopping bill and whether Malaysia is ready for a new for new coalition politics. With their panel of guests, it was YB Wong Chen, MP for Subang, and Dr. Wong Tien Huat, Professor, and Jeffrey Sachs Centre on Sustainable Development. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. As I said, on behalf of myself, Rich Bradbury, and Christine Wong, have yourselves a lovely weekend, and we'll be back same time, same place next week here on Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Enterprise Biz Bytes was presented by Allianz Malaysia, empowering businesses to build confidence in tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.